And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. What's going on, Joe Rex Road? How are we doing?
I'm doing just fine. Doing just fine over here.
That's good.
I want to know how Michelle's doing.
I want to know how Michelle's doing too. Michelle,
listen,
traveling member of our show. What's going on?
I think we drove like 11 hours yesterday.
Good gracious.
My eyeballs.
11?
It took like 5.5 to get there. I thought we were leaving early. I was like, okay, let's leave at noon. Then I was like, cool, we'll get there like 2 hours before the Hawks game. To preface it, I went to the Hawks Bulls game last night. Super sporadic. Got tickets. Awesome game. Absolutely incredible. But then, of course, when the game ends, it's like, well, now we got to drive home.
Yep.
And shout out to my boyfriend driving, because I took my contacts out and just all the lights and everything in the tractor trailers, I'm like thinking we're going to get in a car accident every 5 seconds. And he's like, will you just calm the heck down? I'm like, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes and just go to sleep, because I can't deal with this right now. But yeah, we got about 3 hours of sleep over here. And as soon as the clock hits 10:05, I will be on my way back to my apartment for some sleep. But the game was unreal. Absolutely unreal. Awesome.
I gotta commend Michelle. The drive to Atlanta in the middle of the week to go watch an NBA game and to still make it back for the show and to be awake for the show is pretty impressive, I will say.
That's pretty strong.
Thank you, guys.
Shout out, Ryan.
Shout out, Ryan and Kevin Herter, who hooked us up with some sweet tickets.
Nice. Very nicely done. Yes. And at least it was a good game, too. At least you didn't drive down there for like a 40-point blowout either way.
Well, yeah, we were like, okay, in the fourth quarter, if it's clearly going one way or the other, we're definitely going to like skirt out for 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden it's like a 2-point game. There's like 2 minutes left. Trae Young just hits like two threes in a row. The environment was pretty awesome. It was, I'd never been to the State Farm Arena. I actually haven't been to Atlanta in years. So it was pretty cool, but Atlanta traffic. Oh yeah. Absolutely awful.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Awful.
So the 11 hours, what, at least two of that has to be just in standstill, right?
So on the way home, didn't really hit much. On the way there, though, left here at noon. Oh, through Chattanooga.
Oh, it's awful.
There. And then we're just sitting in the city of Atlanta. And I'm like, I can see where we're going to park and the stadium. It was just, I was like, I need to get out of my car. Nobody lets you in. People are awful drivers. Let's be nice to people on the roads, okay?
Atlanta. Joe, you know, obviously, I don't have a ton of experience driving around New York or L.A. or anything like that. But Atlanta, every time I ever go down there, the traffic is just terrible. Every time.
Yeah. It's one of the worst for sure.
Ugh. We're glad you made it back, Michelle. Glad that you're doing well here today.
Chipper welcome this morning.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Rexroad, how was your day yesterday? You were at the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament at Bridgestone Arena.
Yes. It was good. It was a good day of hoops. I was very happy to be in a place where they're playing an actual sport as opposed to timing each other, running around and measuring each other's hands. And it was a really brutal day for Vanderbilt. They were really controlling Florida up 14 with 38 seconds left in the third, and Florida's point guard went down late, and it doesn't look good. And they were really emotional afterward. It looked like she couldn't put any weight at all on the right leg. But they came back. They took their first lead over Vanderbilt with 8 seconds left. I mean, they were down the entire game. Vanderbilt jumped on them, played a great game, Yeah, there were a couple calls for sure. That there was a charge call on Jordan Cambridge that I just
– it was brutal.
Yeah, and it's like I've had some people argue with me, like, you know, you can't throw your shoulder into somebody, and I agree, but she really didn't. She initiated contact, but that's the benefit. If you play college basketball, men's or women's college basketball, if you time a flop well, you got like an 80 – plus percent chance of being rewarded. Even like, you know, in a situation like that where you wouldn't think it would be rewardable, but it was. Yep. And there, you know, there were some calls, you know, and Shea Ralph afterward was like, I was advised not to talk about the refs, so I won't talk about the refs, you know, which is, I love that. That's like a great way to like rip the refs, but kind of indirectly, you know? So it was a heartbreaking loss for them. I'm pretty bullish on Shea Ralph and where that program can go. I mean, the problem is, or the question is, you know, this is the best women's basketball conference in the country. And the SEC is, it's just stacked with coaches, players. So, you know, that's not going to be easy to get to the top of that league, but certainly I think NCAA tournaments are coming. And I mean, the fact that it's been since 2014 for that program is, that's wild. You know, at that point, they had made 25 of 26 tournaments, including some deep runs, including a Final Four. So I think she's going to get them back.
Well, it's some big games today at the SEC tournament as well. Arkansas taking on South Carolina at noon. Kentucky LSU later today. Florida Ole Miss and Alabama and Tennessee as well. So we'll see what the Vols can do today. Nice 8:30 start tonight for the Vols as well. So, hey, at least tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a nice late night over there at Bridgestone. Looking forward to it. That's a team that has really been a problem for Tennessee in recent years. This year, they just lost to them. And of course, Jordan Horston fractured and dislocated her elbow in that game, which to me turned Tennessee from a dark horse Final Four contender, certainly an Elite Eight contender, to like, if they can get a home weekend and get to the second weekend, that's a huge win. I mean, she's flat out their best player. She leads them in every category. She's a special player. And it's going to be really interesting to see what Kelly Harper comes up with in terms of, you know, trying to compensate for her. They still have some good players, but it's just playmaking and creating shots. You know, they're going to need Jordan Walker to do more. Brooklyn Miles, the freshman, who I think is going to be a really good player, to do more too.
What do you think so far of Kelly Harper? I mean, obviously there's a high standard in that program. I like her. I like the job that she's done so far. What do you think of Kelly Harper as head coach of the Tennessee Lady Vols?
I think she's done a good job. I think, when they hired her, I mean, before they even got to that, I was like, man, at some point, I think you have to just, it's great if you can bring in, a Pat Summitt disciple, someone in the family. It's the best program still in the history of the sport. But at some point, you know, I think you can't confine yourself to that.
Yeah.
But I think what we've seen with Kelly Harper, and I'm saying this too, you know, talking to other people around the sport too, like, you know, she's the difference between her and Holly Warlick, huge difference. Holly Warlick was there as Pat Summitt's lieutenant forever and then took the job. First of all, it's always tough to follow the legend, but also Kelly Harper has been at different programs, had varying levels of success, different levels, very experienced head coach. And I think that she's really grown into this. They've got a player coming next year, Passat, who McDonald's All-American, kind of like big point forward shooter type player who I think could really be a special player. I mean, you don't want to overhype someone before they get there. But I think she's done a good job. And look, she had a team this year that, again, had a chance to be really special. Injuries derailed it. But she's done a good job. But look, everybody's chasing South Carolina. You know, and that's the reality of this league right now, is that Dawn Staley has the powerhouse in the SEC. So that's just the reality. But I think Tennessee has a chance to have some really good teams moving forward with Kelly Harper.
We'll see how Tennessee does tonight against Alabama at Bridgestone Arena in the SEC Women's Tournament. Joey, a very sad day here on the program. I would like to preemptively apologize to Kenny Pickett for his career being over before it even begins. His hand size measurements are out. 8.5 inches of the hand size for Kenny Pickett yesterday, which, as we were pointed out multiple times yesterday, smaller than any current quarterback in the NFL. So the hand size people are out, and they're all over Kenny Pickett. 8.5, the official size for Kenny Pickett. Joe, your reaction?
The best tweet I saw was Ross Tucker. Did you see his tweet?
No.
Okay, I gotta find it. I gotta make sure that I can accurately convey this tweet. Yeah, Kenny Pickett's hands are way too small for him to play in a cold weather NFL city like Pittsburgh. And the awesome thing is, like, and of course later he's like, the mentions are amazing. Of course, it's all, he's like, you idiot, he plays in Pittsburgh. You know?
Yes, I know that. Thank you.
It's what an event again. Like, I kudos to the NFL. Kudos, you're amazing. Did you ever know that you're my hero, NFL? You make us talk about hand size.
Well, it was amazing. Well, first off, the amount of people, like, and I get it, you know, from people like TD and others who cover the sport, and this is what they do. Like, I understand the combine stuff and live tweeting that, but the amount of people that I know that have nothing to do with, like, sports journalism or the NFL that were just live tweeting combine times last night and, like, form of people running 40-yard dashes. I was like, what is going on here? You're right. Like, people do watch it. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it's, well, and even, like, yeah, just, I don't know why. I feel like I'm so much more annoyed with it this year. I have no idea why. It's just cranky old man stuff, but just the con, even like some of our, you know, media in Nashville who are there and stuff. Again, like, yeah, like you said, I mean, this is TD. This is his whole, this is it, man. He covers the NFL and he's all that other stuff. But, like, just some of the, like, interviews, like, blah, you know, blah, 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 said he really likes to play in this kind of offense and he's talked with the Titans and, you know, on and on and on. It's just, I need to mute the whole thing. But there are some interesting, I will say, I mean, like, I did catch some 40 times on Twitter and some interesting ones. And Velus Jones tore it up.
Jones did well.
And Chris Olave, what did he run? Now, I saw, actually, TD, I think, tweeted like a 4.2 something, but that obviously wasn't the verified time.
Yeah. But it was, I think that when I saw it, it was like a 4.2.1 or something like that. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, the 4.2.1 was Tyquan Thornton.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But Olave had a great time. So there we go. 40 times. Get excited. That's remember, right. Jerry Rice ran a 4.6.
I mean, in all seriousness, like, Velus Jones probably really helped himself yesterday. Yeah. Would be my guess.
I would say so for sure. Yeah. I'm not surprised by that time, though. You know, I'm not surprised by that time. And I think this is a great example of, like, Velus Jones is, someone's going to be intrigued by him for sure. He can be a weapon. You know, he's not a complete receiver, right? I mean, although I think he made some strides last year. But yeah, I agree. I mean, he helped himself. And certainly as a returner, you know, he has appeal. The problem with the NFL, of course, is a kickoff returning is so sporadic and even happening anymore, you know, that there's a little less value on that. Punt returning is, I don't know that he's a punt returner, but in the NFL, but we'll see. Maybe he is.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Some interesting comments made the other day by Mike Vrabel regarding Dylan Raidens and what his future looks like. We'll get into those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So I thought there were some interesting comments made the other day by Mike Vrabel when it comes to Dylan Raidens. We talked a lot yesterday about Ben Jones and Roger Saffold and what the state of the offensive line could look like. And I think a lot of the answer is, how do the Titans really feel about Dylan Raidens? And John Robbins said, quote, he's coming on. He's gotten better at practice. I'm excited. He's excited about the offseason. We're going to lean on him. And Vrabel was asked about Dylan Raidens and whether or not he's ready to be a starter today. And basically Vrabel said, no, he's not ready, but, you know, our job as coaches, and talked about Keith Carter and everybody that's going to help him, is to give him an opportunity to be ready and that he's going to have every opportunity to start once next season comes around. What did you think of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel's thoughts on Dylan Raidens? And what did that tell you about where they think he is right now in their minds?
Yeah, I tried to see if I could get Robinson to, you know, officially declare him as a guard or a tackle, but that, again, didn't happen.
It did not.
Although I kind of came away from everything Robinson said, you know, thinking they'd prefer him to work out at tackle.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, you know, but, you know, I feel like, you know, first of all, it just kind of depends on the context. I mean, Robinson was asked and Kaharski asked him about offensive lineman evaluation, which is a fair question right now, given the first and second round picks of the last two drafts, respectively. But we've talked, Robinson, you know, pointed out what we've talked about too, which is, you know, if you want to talk about overall evaluation of offensive linemen from him, he also picked Jack Conklin. He also went out and got Ben Jones and Roger Saffold. He also picked Nate Davis. So right. they've been good until recently, but it's also to me so different because Isaiah Wilson is just, it's its own separate case. That to me isn't like, oh man, they really didn't look at his knee bend correctly. You know, like that, yeah, his punch on his pass pro just was, they totally missed that. I mean, he's just an off the field thing. And then Raidens is, it's a big story for this team. Like Vrabel made the point of calling, you know, mentioning both strength coaches. And I think that's an obvious thing here. He was not physically prepared to play at a high level at this level, but that's, to me, is actually an encouraging thing because if it's like, you know, if it's like, oh God, he has bad feet, you know, like there's some things you can't fix.
Right.
If getting into way better shape and just being way physically stronger is going to make a huge difference for you as a player, you know, and you just aren't there yet, well then, okay, well now you got room to grow. So overall, I feel like I don't think that they're just like totally BSing that they have some optimism. And I think that the consistent theme with him, again, this is where I'm like, is it relative to Isaiah Wilson or is it just on its own? Because if you're going to make the comparison, then a lot of people would be responsible and, you know, and looking pretty good compared to Isaiah Wilson. But I think it's pretty consistent across the board. And this goes back to Keith Carter during the season too. Like he was gushing whenever he had a chance about Raidens' attitude and getting there early and all that stuff. And that's the stuff that it does matter at some point. It doesn't guarantee you can play in this league. And we have to find that out. But it seems to me like the best foot forward is going to happen here. And I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be a starter.
Well, I think they are too. And, you know, I thought the San Francisco game was encouraging with the job that he did coming in at left tackle. I think some of us have gone a little overblown with the job he did at left tackle. I mean, it wasn't like he came in there and they put him on an island the whole game and he was, you know, basically just slapping Nick Bosa aside. That's not what happened in that game, but he did a fine job in that game. He did better than I thought he would in that game. I guess if I'm a Titans fan, I mean, I'm hoping he works out at tackle because if he doesn't work out at tackle, you're still searching for a right tackle. Like David Questenberry, he was fine last year, but is David Questenberry the guy that you want being your starting right tackle moving forward? I don't know. Like that may be something you have to do next year. I mean, either way, you're going to have to start drafting some offensive linemen coming up. Whether Roger Saffold is gone this year or not, I think he will be. But if he's not, like that time is coming pretty soon. So you're going to have to continue to address the offensive line. But like if you determine that he doesn't work out at right tackle, and then like next year you're having to go draft your third right tackle in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, that's not a spot you want to be in if you're J-Rob in the Titans.
No, well, especially because you got to draft your next left tackle pretty soon.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You know, I firmly believe he's going to be left tackle this year, but it's not far off with him. And so you got to do that. You would love to feel like, and look, I know it may sound outlandish right now. It is possible that Radins could be that long-term next left tackle. It's hard to project that after what we saw as a rookie, but I mean, it's possible. It way crazier things have happened in this league, especially an offensive line, you know? You definitely see players change positions, change trajectories, if I can get that out at that position. But yeah, I mean, they've got to, I mean, essentially long-term, you know, I still think Nate Davis is a good player, and this is a big year for him, by the way. Yeah. But I mean, I think you could look at him and say, you know, he may be a long-term starter up front for them. And Dylan Radins, they need to be a long-term starter. And then there's three other spots that are TBD pretty quickly here. And it looks like two of those may be immediately if they aren't going to go try to re-sign Ben Jones. And, of course, if they cut Roger Saffold, which I still just – I don't have a calculator that makes it work where they don't. But that's, you know, Vin Marino may have one.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, let's say Radins has a good offseason and he's ready to start. And let's say he's ready to start at right tackle. Like, what are you doing at left guard then if Saffold's gone? Because, you know, I think Aaron Brewer has done a good job. Is Aaron Brewer ready to be a starting left tackle in the league? I don't know. And you may be in a situation where he's got to be, and you just kind of see how it goes there. I mean, obviously you can draft an interior offensive lineman at some point in the draft this year. Like, I don't know that you're spending your first round pick on an interior offensive lineman with all the other needs that you have with this group. But that would be my question. Like, if Radins is a right tackle and that's what they determine ultimately he's going to be, what are you doing at left guard if Saffold's not here? And do you think that Aaron Brewer is ready for that?
Yeah, no, well, it's a great question. It's a big, and that's got to be part of, I mean, part of the answer there is going to help probably dictate what they do. I mean, I do feel like Aaron Brewer has been a pretty good find. I've been pretty impressed with him when he's had to be going there, but it's still a different deal, you know, going to all out, you know, are you a good starting quality player? So no matter what, it seems like a pretty, and you know, you could go in the fourth round, but you got to devote some draft capital, I would think, to offensive line. Now you could also go into free agency and, I think more on the bargain side of things, try to bring in some veterans, and that I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a signing like that, a Kendall Lamb like signing.
Which, by the way, like, he's definitely going to get cut, right?
Yes. Yeah. Cause you can save some money, and yeah, it just, to me, you're better. I mean, Quesenberry's better than him. We've seen that. So yeah, I don't, but something like that, maybe on the interior. And of course you hope it works out better than Kendall Lamb did. You know, I could see that, but I think even with that, there's got to be at least one, not at the end of the draft, pick devoted to an offensive lineman.
Where's Bobby Hart when you need him? Go get him off that Bills practice squad again and bring him back.
Cardinals, Bills, Titans, where is the guy's everywhere.
He was. Played well at left tackle when you really needed him for the Kansas City game.
Pretty amazing.
And that was about it for Bobby Hart here with the Titans.
Thanks for playing.
We're off and running here today, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, is there a position in free agency where maybe the Titans can get even better and devote more of their money there that we're just not thinking about right now? I'll get to what I mean on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And Joe, a popular question that has been on our text line the last couple of days that we have not had much chance to get to due to other stuff we've been talking about has been wide receiver and whether or not the Titans can be active in the free agent market that way. We got a couple of questions yesterday about Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson, who are, of course, a part of the free agent class here at wide receiver. Also very expensive members of the free agent class and wide receiver this year. There's a lot of guys that you can kind of sort through here that are going to be active and out there and available potentially as free agents. My question for you is, we spent so much time talking about moves the Titans could make. You know, are they going to keep Julio Jones? Are they not going to keep Julio Jones? Are they going to go get a tight end in free agency? Is there any way in your mind that the Titans, in order to be great around Ryan Tannehill, can go be active in the wide receiver market in free agency as well? Maybe not one of the top guys where you're throwing out $18, $19 million per year, but do you think the Titans can be active free agency-wise with wide receiver, or is that answer simply just going to have to come from the draft, and that is what it is at this point?
Excuse me. Well, I've kind of dismissed it, but you can't dismiss it as a possibility. I mean, to me, if you're going to go get a free agent, and I mean, I'm like a mid-level free agent, that kind of tells me that maybe Julio Jones is going to be gone. But again, the problem with that is there's no way you're cutting Julio Jones before June 1st.
Yep.
You can't. So, you know, okay, a lot of people have asked, and I think a lot of people who asked this, and someone on the text line yesterday asked this about being cap compliant, you know, which, because I think the idea being, can you just be over for, you know, a couple months or like a month, you know, 6 weeks, and then no, I mean, you have to stay under the cap or you'll get hit with fines, and like they can hit you with fine. I don't even know the penalty structure, but people just don't do it. So, I don't know how that would work with a bigger signing. Could you go get, you know, like go through the list? I mean, there's some pretty good players, you know. Hey, there's Adam Humphries, get him back. You know, I mean, Rashard Higgins, not a bad player, you know.
Hey, Josh Reynolds be out there.
Yeah. Is he a free agent? That's right. They just signed a 1-year deal. There he is. Yeah. Josh Reynolds. Get Josh Reynolds back. You know, Khalif Raymond's out there. Marcus Johnson, by the way, and Chester Rogers are both free agents. I mean, do you want to bring those guys back? I would think with Rogers. I would think with Rogers, you might, to have some depth. You know, some of this is also when you talk about depth, because that's what it is. You want to be better at the top of your receiving core. But to me, that formula is obviously AJ, and I think Julio Jones. And then it's, to me, like a significant rookie draft pick. That's my mind. That's in my mind what they should do and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but then, like, you could have a potent trio if you make a good choice and the rookie's ready to go, and then your depth. Okay, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is definitely part of that. How do you feel about Dez Fitzpatrick? Do you feel like, with, you know, we talk about Farley and Raidens, what about Dez Fitzpatrick? What about Racy McMath? You know, how do you feel about those rookies? Do you feel like they could take huge strides? If you do, then the back end of your room is in pretty good shape, and I don't think you need to go look around this bargain bin of receivers and pay more. You know, you want to pay less whenever possible. So I guess I'd be surprised if they, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, you know, now you're getting into people who may be overpaid.
Yeah.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton has destroyed you many times. Maybe, you know, I've heard some people talk about Will Fuller, you know, and obviously he has a history with Tim Kelly, but I wouldn't talk about someone you can't count on to stay healthy.
There's a guy that's interesting to me that I don't know whether or not Green Bay is going to be able to bring him back. And I don't know what his price is going to be free agent wise, but you talk about a burner that the Titans are looking for. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, if I'm the Titans, I'd be taking a look at. And he's never going to be a guy that, you know, catches 6 or 7 balls a game and has 110 yards receiving per game or anything like that. But you want to talk about some big plays? Like, that guy is fast, and he is the fastest player the Packers had. And that's what it was. It was, all right, we're going to take a shot with MVS when he's in there. you know, with the Packers in their cap situation, Alan Lazard's a restricted free agent. MVS is unrestricted. Obviously, they're going to have to pay Davante Adams. Like, I don't know that MVS is going to be somebody that they can bring back. Maybe they can, but I think it's going to be difficult. That would be somebody, if I'm the Titans, I would be kicking the tires on, because I don't think he's going to be that expensive. Like, when you go look at his numbers, the numbers aren't going to blow you away with what he's been able to do. But you talk about big play guy, that's a guy that, I mean, he had 26 catches last year. He was hurt for six or seven games last year. But, I mean, he can make some big plays down the field.
Yeah, 16 and a half yards per catch. Not bad. That's an interesting one. On a totally different kind of player, I'm assuming that the Niners are going to be very motivated to bring him back. But how about Juwan Jennings back to the state of Tennessee?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about with those two guys, you're talking about two guys who made less than 700K last year, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And if you are going to go that route, then I would probably prioritize speed. But then again, what are you thinking for the draft, you know?
Right.
Because there's some really fast and really, you know, promising receivers, I think, in this draft. But now we talk about those stuff. I think tight end has got to be a bigger priority, and not just, you know, not just like any tight end. I think trying to upgrade at tight end has got to be a bigger priority, which I feel like you are better off trying to do that in free agency than the draft. And I think the opposite of receiver.
Yeah, I agree. And I think at some point in the draft, the Titans are going to get a receiver that they feel like can help them this year. But the problem is, I mean, you know, what do they think of Des Fitzpatrick? You drafted him in the fourth round last year. He didn't make your team out of camp. Now, obviously, he hung around and got better on the practice squad, and more due to necessity than anything else. He had to be thrown into game action last year. But do you feel any differently if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel about Des Fitzpatrick as you move forward in terms of, like, is there a chance that you think he can help you next year? Like, I'd be interested to know what their thoughts are on that, because if so, I mean, that's a guy that obviously you want to keep and to be a part of your group. If not, then, I mean, your receiving core could look pretty different next year. Like, I feel really good about A.J. Brown, and I feel really good about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina being here. That's about it. Like, I think Julio Jones is going to be here, but I don't know. Like, what do you do with Cam Batson? He was hurt last year. Is he going to be a part of your plans as you move forward? I mean, I don't know. I think that there's a potential, and I don't know how likely it is, but there's a potential that your receiving core outside of A.J. Brown and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina could be different next year. Like, is Racy McMath going to have an elevated role? There's a lot of questions I have in that room.
I feel stronger about Racy McMath being back than Des Fitzpatrick, just because I know that he's an asset in the kicking game.
Yeah.
And they like that, and it's always great when you can have, you know, a player can do two things for you. But yeah, those are big questions. Both of those guys, big off seasons. And like Batson, very good point. I mean, they love Cam Batson. You can't not love Cam Batson and his story. And yeah, look, he may have done what Chester Rogers did last year, maybe done it a little bit better had he been healthy. We have not mentioned Marcus Johnson yet.
Yep.
And, you know, the Colts went with him for a bit, and he had some stretches where he really helped him on the field. But you can kind of see it's just I absolutely think he's good enough. I don't have any doubt that Marcus Johnson is good enough to be, you know, in the top three or four of a receiving rotation in this league and make plays. But the health thing is the big question. So do they just say, okay, yeah, thanks, but no thanks? Or is it like, gosh, give it one more, excuse me, go with this guy? You know, that's what I thought they were going to do with Darrington Evans.
Yeah.
But with Darrington Evans, that's also a huge difference when you pick a guy in the third round and it's only been 2 years.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, Velus Jones from the Vols is their guy. Velus Jones is the guy that you should select in the draft.
Nah. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, look, Velus Jones, really good story, and he came on last year. But you got to do better than that.
And again, he's not going to be a first rounder, right?
No, he's not going to be close to a first rounder. And this is where this is actually a great example of how the combine is just so overrated. You know, Velus Jones is not near the top group of receivers coming out. 40 time is actually a pretty small piece of it. You got to run well, and if you're outrageously fast, that helps you. But
well, look, yeah. I think he could be an NFL player. I don't know that he's coming in and making a huge difference.
Look, I mean, like if the Vols could get Velus Jones or the Vols, if the Titans could get Velus Jones late in the draft and they hadn't, hadn't drafted a receiver or something like that or whatever. Okay, fine. But I think they got to make it a priority high, and that's not going to be him.
Heidi from Dixon texting in says, we have two amazing receivers part-time. Let's get two full-time backups. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon. So I guess that's a shot at A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, part-time receivers.
Heidi speaking in riddles before 7 a.m. on a Friday.
In honor of the new Batman coming out. Way to go, Heidi. Good stuff.
People are gushing about the new Batman.
You know, I have extremely low expectations just because Robert Pattinson is Batman and I just can't see it. But yeah. I've heard so far from critics, and Justin Bradford apparently has seen this movie. Apparently it's good, so maybe I'll have to go check it out.
Yep, I've seen, well, Bradford and Zach McCann on Twitter have had some very glowing things to say, so I'm getting a little bit more intrigued.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, on Batman as well, if you'd like to have thoughts on that. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What's a bigger priority for the Titans to you in free agency, wide receiver or tight end? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Pennzoil 400 at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Also, get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Earth, Wind, Fire bringing us back in. It's a great jam, Rex Road. I always think of weddings when I hear this song.
Great jam. We jammed it at our wedding. And by the way, our wedding was on September 21st, which is the exact day they mention in that song. Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to know something funny, on September 21st of this year, I played the song like 3 or 4 times to see if you guys would say anything, and neither of you noticed.
Well, I thought I did notice. I
did. We're kind of dumb.
No. In the month of September, but not the 21st.
That was my anniversary. Are you sure?
I swear promise.
I said something. Okay, well, I feel bad.
Well, now you did.
Notice, we're not very smart, so that's what we do.
You guys are very smart. Very smart.
Keep it in context, yeah, of our lack of smart-ishness.
Well said.
We're smartless. That's a great podcast, by the way, Smartless.
I'll take your word for it. I don't
Thanks,
know what that
Joe.
Is.
Well, it is. It's Jason Bateman's podcast.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's good.
By the way, did you see that the second half of Ozark, the final season, coming out April 29th.
This is awesome.
Yep. So that's quicker than I thought. I thought it was going to be a little bit later in 2022, April 29th.
I'm more excited for Better Call Saul's last season, but it's very close. It's neck and neck there. I hope Ozark can finish strong. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried, but I hope they can finish strong.
Neck and neck like Davis Mills. Be good stuff.
Right. There you go.
That was great, Robbie.
Thank you.
We haven't talked Davis Mills in a while. Good job.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jordan from Nashville texting in, is Robert Pattinson playing Batman equal to Ryan Tannehill playing quarterback? This is coming from Jordan from Nashville. Wow. Maybe. I mean, I'll have to wait and see how Pattinson does. I mean, I would say that, you know, he's certainly not George Clooney. Like, the George Clooney Batman was – even though as a kid, I liked that movie just because I was a kid. But yeah, the George Clooney Batman was rough watching it back nowadays.
Yeah, very exciting with Michael. I mean, I thought Michael Keaton was a weird choice, but like that first Batman that came out with him and the Jack Nicholson as a Joker was really exciting, and he was pretty great. Yeah, Clooney and Val Kilmer. Yeah, it's just, you know, didn't quite hit, but
Ben Affleck. Batman too.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to mention it, but you had to go there. You had to go.
Tannehill certainly better than Ben Affleck as Batman.
You know, it's funny, all these Tannehill jokes. He is. He correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone? He is clearly the second best quarterback who has ever played for the Tennessee Titans. Am I correct?
Yeah. I don't think it's all that close. I mean, I guess
that's kind of a sad comment on 20 years of quarterbacks.
I don't know. What do you think of Vince Young's rookie year?
Well, yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, Marcus Mariota's second year was very good.
But the overall body of work, yes. I think it's pretty clear he's second best quarterback.
And let's remember that in 2020, when he was at the height of his powers and weekly, he was like, he's playing as well as just about anyone in the league. We were saying McNair, Tannehill.
Yeah.
You know, but now public enemy number one, Ryan Tannehill.
Now we're making Robert Pattinson Batman jokes at Ryan Tannehill's expense. good stuff. I agree. I think free agency wise, tight end is probably the way that they will go, probably the way that they should go. I'm just interested to see who that is. Like, are they going to get into the Zach Ertz sweepstakes? That seems like that could be a little expensive for their taste. You know, is Rob Gronkowski going to retire? I don't think he's made a decision on that yet. I guess I thought, you know, with Brady being gone, that he probably would. Maybe he's waiting to see if Brady comes back. I don't know. Like, I don't know what Gronk's doing. I mean, you got Tonyan that's out there. Ferks is a free agent. Are you bringing him back? Hayden Hurst, Evan Engram, David Njoku, Mike Gesicki. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. We've gone through the list. I think it's far more likely they get involved in that. I think they should get involved in that. Like, to me, you got to go out and get a tight end that is proven in this league, and they could be a legitimate option for you in the passing game. And we did hear at the combine the other day, John Robinson confirmed that they will need a tight end as they move forward. Probably a couple.
Yes. Corey Curtis, you couldn't quite pull off a Chris Harris and make anyone cry, but you did confirm that they will have a tight end in their offense. That was a funny moment. Now, look, I just like there's some really intriguing, again, I would call them mid-level guys, and it's like you just have to pick the right one. And, of course, you have to be able to actually sign that person. But I think it's a good thing that there's so many of these guys who are hitting the market right now. That should be a little bit of price control for some of the, you know, the ones that are a little flawed. Like, I don't think that the Ertz thing is realistic at all. He's elite. I wouldn't be looking at Jimmy Graham at 35 years old, you know. But it's like the guy's like, you know, is Eric Ebron at the point now where, I mean, he got paid $6 million last year. He shouldn't have been paid that much. And, you know, also injuries with him. Could you get him at a very low rate, and would that be worthwhile? Could that be another little – he's had these kind of renaissance years. He's talented, you know. But is that a place that you would look, someone like that? There are a lot of guys like O.J. Howard. We talked about him. He looks like he could be really good, you know? Yeah. I mean, Mike Gesicki to me is – but I think Gesicki is actually going to command a pretty big price among this group. You know, I think you'd be needing to really dig into the pocketbook for someone like that. But there are a lot of Max Williams. What do you think about Max Williams?
Yeah.
He was hurt. You know, he only played 5 games.
Yeah.
Talented guy. Hayden Hurst is a talented guy, I think. You know, like he would be an absolute upgrade over what you had last year. And then, yeah, to your point, all those guys are free agents. Now, Robinson said, you know, like they're talking with them. He didn't specify who. I feel like Swaim is the biggest lock to return of the group. And Ferkser, I don't know. I have a feeling we've seen the last of Anthony Ferkser with the Titans, but I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, I would assume that he's not going to make a ton of money in free agency. So I think you'll be able to bring it back if you want to. I mean, the question is, like, if you're aiming higher for a tight end, do you want Ferkser back in the fold? I agree. Like, I think Swaim's going to be back. And I have no clue about Michael Pruitt. Like, obviously, that was a rough injury, and they didn't really want to bring him back last year. At least it didn't seem like they wanted to bring him back last year. And then ultimately they did at the very end. So I have no clue what his future looks like. But if you're shooting for another top guy, is this bringing Ferkser back makes sense if you're bringing Swain back as well? I don't know. I got that's an interesting question. And then also, you know, I do think it would be beneficial at some point in the draft to draft a tight end. I don't know if that necessarily needs to be in the first round. And this is, again, where not having a second round pick could be problematic for the Titans. But, you know, at some point, I wouldn't be surprised, whether it's third round, fourth round, whatever, if they drafted the tight end with one of those picks. So where does that fit in?
Yeah, and this is also, again, where if you had the opportunity to bail out of the first round and there wasn't someone you absolutely loved coming up with your pick, it could be really beneficial, because I agree. I mean, I think the tight ends, the run on tight ends is going to be like in the second, third round range.
Yeah.
And there's some talented ones in there. Ferkser is interesting. Like, you know, Ferkser made $3 million last year. You aren't going to pay him that next year, but will someone, you know, I don't know either. Probably not, but he still could potentially, it still could be, you know, where someone's willing to give him more than you are. I don't know. I do think the Titans like him a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously. It's just last year was kind of the big opportunity and it just didn't really happen for him.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Got a texter that says, y'all will be on the Tannehill Tattletales show since you said that he's the second best in Titans history. Maybe so.
I hope they embrace that term.
Maybe it's Kerry Collins. Paul on the text line says, what Batman character does the 102.5 The Game staff identify with? Stillman is definitely the Penguin. This is coming from Paul on the text line.
Is Heidi the Riddler?
Well, I was going to say Darren the Riddler. I don't know. Who's the Joker? Like, what member of our staff is the Joker?
I don't know. We'd have to really think about this. And then, you know, there's some, you know, like, who's Commissioner Gordon? I guess that's Chase. You know, I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah. Who's Batman?
Me.
Michelle. Michelle is Batman.
There you go. You claimed it.
There we go.
You got it.
Who's Two-Face? There's a lot of different ways you can go with this.
I was going to say Jared, but I don't really have a reasoning.
They can't be all the villains.
Yeah.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll switch gears, get into the Nashville Predators coming up next. How much differently do we feel about the Preds and their outlook for the playoffs now than we did this time a few weeks ago? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.